Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. I just am so grateful to have this amazing lady in the studio. I recently met her, and I just think we just clicked, and I was so excited. I'm like, I need her on my podcast, like, have to have her. So she has done me the honor of being here, and I just want to introduce everyone to Maria Molina.
Thank you, Monique. I greatly appreciate the invite, and I'm really thankful that Eric introduced us.
Yes, Eric's the man.
He is.
So where are you originally from, and where did you grow up?
Okay, I'm originally from San Benito, Texas, and that's actually the home of Freddie Fender. It is way down at the tip of Texas, so I'm like 10 minutes away from Mexico, and I'm 15 minutes away from the beach, so it's like the perfect place to grow up.
Really?
Why did I come up here? Well, that's another story.
I didn't get to ask it, but you could tell us.
But it's a beautiful place to grow up, and it really helped me because I had access to the Spanish language and the English language. So it's like very natural for me to go into Spanish and go into English. Like it's second nature because that's what I grew up with. My part of Texas where I grew up, there's actually a community where it's very friendly. Like my hometown was the population was like 30,000. So everybody like knew everybody. And it's just, I think growing up there really gave me a different view of life. And when I came up here, it was a big culture shock because it's like I'm in this big old city. Yeah. But I attribute who I am to growing up in Texas and being Tex-Mex. I really take a lot of pride in being, people would say Mexican American, but I consider myself Tex-Mex.
Okay.
Yep.
So when did you end up coming to Toledo?
I ended up coming to Toledo in 1997. I got married really young. I got married at 18, so we moved up here because NAFTA. To be honest, it was NAFTA. NAFTA came into play, and my husband's company at the time closed down because they were going to jump over to Mexico, which was 10 minutes away, to pay them $20 a week because he was making $5, $5.95 an hour.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that circumstances brought you here.
Yeah, NAFTA kind of.
So how has growing up in San Benito, Texas influenced your approach to community involvement in Toledo? You kind of touched on that, but elaborate a little bit more.
Okay, I think my community involvement really stems from my husband at the moment. He was a band. So, and I met him over there. He had his band in Texas. So we came up here and he started playing at all these clubs, and people needed flyers and people needed promotion. So I did know a little bit about design because I had taken a course for embroidery. So I picked up the Adobe Photoshop, and then I picked up the HTML. So I started designing websites and designing flyers and just kind of connecting with all the promoters. And that's where I started off. My first website was MidwestMusica.com, which MidwestMusica.com, we would put up events in Wisconsin. We would put up any event that would be in Illinois. And it really helped our Toledo area, too, because there was events that were held at the Centennial Terrace. And from people going on the website back in 2001, because this was before Facebook, this was before even MySpace, because MySpace was a big thing back then. People would actually go to a website, and they would find out all the information.
Sounds like ancient history, doesn't it?
It does, but it is kind of ancient history. It was like
20... We're still using websites.
But now it's so easy because now, and especially now with AI, AI is, everybody's doing flyers.
Nova.
Yeah, yeah.
We're tired of it. You spent many years working in nonprofit event administration. What inspired you to make the transition to start your own business?
Okay, so I did work for the And this is also another reason why I'm like big in events. I used to work for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. So we would do all the MDA lockups. So we would go and pick up people and arrest them. And I also worked the MDA telethon. So again, all
so
events.
Diverse.
It was
just so
all
diverse.
It was all events. So.
I did not expect you to say that.
No, I did. And then after that, I actually went over. Well, our office in Toledo closed. So I was out of nonprofit for a couple years and went over to the American Heart. When I was at American Heart, then I was the office manager. I was really everybody's assistant. We had four directors, so I would assist Heart Ball. I would assist all the walks in Northwest Ohio and our Go Red for Women luncheon. But I did have a child, so I got pregnant, and I had a child who had special needs. So that was one of the reasons why I had to find an alternative, because I needed to be home, and I needed something where I could actually work and kind of guide myself to be able to like make my own hours, because it's really being a special needs parent is really tough. We've been to Cleveland Clinic several times, and even when we're at Cleveland Clinic, the nice thing about working for yourself is you can pop out that laptop, design some menus, design whatever you need to do and just make it work.
Can you share how managing a home-based business while being a mother to a special needs child has shaped your perspective on work-life balance and entrepreneurship?
It really has shaped it in the way that I do my best to be able to get all my things done during the day. And then, you know, while she's at school, but she hasn't actually been to school for a couple weeks because she's going through some cluster seizures. She's growing through, so she's having some issues with medication, but usually she'll be in school. So I do my running around. She comes home, we spend time. And then at 9 o'clock, I do whatever I run around and to like collect and, you know, work on. I work after 9 on my flyers or menus or whatever I need to do. And it really does like, it's helped. It's helped because again, if anything unexpected pops up, well then you can always reschedule. And now what I'm really trying to do, too, is work a lot through having people, like, send me what they need through WhatsApp. That's the best thing. Because sometimes even, like, email, you can't, you know, really send big files. But it's taught me how to – I mean, you have to. Like, life is tough, but you have to keep going.
You know,
you have to find an alternative. Yeah, you have to find an alternative. You can't wallow and just give up. You have to find a way around.
So you've assisted many local Mexican restaurants with their businesses. Can you describe some of the challenges and successes you had while helping local Mexican restaurants obtain licenses for mobile food trucks and restaurants?
Challenges. I think the challenges are sometimes these people have a language barrier, but they do have like, I mean, they know they've probably worked at a restaurant for 15, 20 years, but they don't know how to get their business off the ground. So where I assist is like kind of guiding them to start off their LLC. Once they have their LLC, then I help them with going to the health department to get their applications in. I also assist with like contacting the city. So I've like these past 2 years, I've really gotten to know like our firefighter prevention people, the health inspection people, and the city people. So that's what I've been guiding them to do.
Does it feel like a mission for you?
I think that's what I'm starting to feel like it is, because I actually had a Mexican store in 2003, and I never had that guidance. Nobody ever told me, okay, Maria, that's not the right cooler. You know, you need a different cooler. Or, you know, there's a grant here. Like right now, City of Toledo has some amazing grants where they can sponsor up to 50 to 75% of your business, of your planning for your business. And if you do already have a business that needs to be renovated, there's some white box and vibrancy program grants that they're giving out that you can also, you know, apply for that sometimes people don't know about.
So what inspired you to create Midwest Tex-Mex Radio and La Comunidad? Did I say that right?
That's what we need that
show. And how do you see yourself strengthening the local Hispanic and arts communities?
Okay, so again, I've always had a big passion when it comes to music and just events and stuff. So after one of the festivals, I had a coworker, well, a fellow co-DJ who is no longer with us because he moved to Texas, that I said, you know what, we need to start this online radio. We researched, took us a little while. We uploaded all this music, and then we got the app going, and now we're streaming 24/7. We have people that tune in from Wisconsin. We have people from Kansas City, from Texas. And the other day, we even had like somebody from, I believe it was the United Kingdom. Like we've got people from all over the place tuning in, but it's really neat. And I think really what I want to do is, our community always focuses on the big artists from Texas, but Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, we have really talented musicians up here as well. Very talented that, you know, they deserve credit. And if you go on our radio, you'll notice that probably about 60% of the time when you're listening, it's going to be an artist from our area. It'll be Grupo Deseo. It will be, we even have Grupo Temible, Ivani Fuego. We have everybody, La Nueva Onda. Well, actually, we have Herbie, who plays with La Nueva Onda, who does a show for us in the mornings. And he really focuses on the Midwest artists. So he has 2 hours where he plays nothing but Midwest artists. And he does come on and talk about, you know, the songs, and just kind of keeps us informed on what's new and happening in the music scene.
You also received a Diamante Adult Leadership Award, which is a significant honor, right, in the Hispanic community.
It is.
What does this recognition mean for you personally and professionally?
It means a lot because, I've been in this community for about close to 30 years, and it feels really amazing that I was recognized. I've helped with Latino Fest, the 2010 when we had, like, the best year. I helped with the marketing, and I also worked with La Prensa. I worked with La Prensa for a couple years. And then even like when Rico, I would still like kind of help him a little bit. And I've just been in Toledo. I feel like Toledo is my home. Toledo is
Toledo.
Home. Toledo is home. Is home for me.
Toledo
for sure.
Is your home.
It is my home now.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Do you have any major projects or community events that you're currently working on?
We actually have a Tejano cruise on the Sandpiper.
Oh, man.
That's coming up on June 12th. It's a lot of fun. We had one last year, and it's a two-hour cruise. Goes down the Maumee River, and then we go in over under the Skyway Bridge. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So that's a two-hour event that we have on.
Are there margaritas?
No, it's a BYOB thing.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
You can bring your own margarita. That's perfectly fine. We're doing a parade, and we like that because we go out to Adrian, Michigan, and we throw out candy, and it's a lot of fun because this parade route is about 1 mile. So those are things that I'm really looking forward to, and we're planning on doing more cruises, and then we have Ivani Fuego, who's doing their show at the International on May 30th. That's going to be a dance that everyone needs to come out to.
I like dancing.
Yeah, no, and Yvonne has a lot of good music.
I know.
Yvonne is good.
We are fans here.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for coming and just sharing your life with us. I just look forward to all the amazing things you're going to continue to do.
Thank you.
Toledo.
And I appreciate you, the invitation. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.